Yeah, you're right.
Too many Bibles in there.
No, no, it's all right. Trusting God will give us the words to say. He usually does. I'm very shy, usually. Well, I am. If it wasn't for Jesus, same as our brother, I wouldn't be standing here if it wasn't for Jesus. But I believe it's what God and Jesus has put in my heart to do for his glory. For his glory. I was born at a very early age. perhaps you don't realise I was born at a very early age. I was born again at a very early age as well. Well, perhaps not as early as some. I was born again around about 10 or 11. I just can't remember when. Now, I struggled a long while with the fact that people who'd been born again can give you the date, the time, how elated they felt and how exciting it was to be born again. And I can honestly say I didn't feel anything like that, but I felt that God was speaking to me. God was telling me. You see, I was brought up from a little end to come to Sunday school, and the preaching was the second coming, and the preaching was also that you needed to be born again of the Spirit of God. You can't rely on your mum and dad. You can't rely on your Uncle Joe, who was such a good speaker and good orator. No, you've got to come yourself. Jesus died for you. And I realized that Jesus died for me, and I gave my heart and life to Jesus. And from that time, I felt him blessing me and calling me. And as many times we've been through many sticky situations. Like I said, we go through stuff. Bad stuff happens. But God is with you all the time. God is with you all the time. I know we come from a generation when I was little whereby you did nothing on a Sunday. It was wrong to read the paper. It was wrong even to have the television on if you got a television. I'm that old then, I can remember not having a television. But if you had one, you don't have it done on a Sunday. You don't read the paper on a Sunday. You don't play football on a Sunday. You don't enjoy yourself on a Sunday. You go to church on a Sunday. And even all through that, God was still calling me. You know, a lot of people do rebel against that sort of thing, religiosity. But God still calls his people. God still has got his hands on people's hearts and lives. And I can remember God was calling me and blessing me. Same as I said, the preaching was so real. So the Lord was coming tomorrow. The Lord's coming. You need to get right with God. And I prayed the prayer, Lord, let me pass my test so I can just have a little drive just before you come. Then you can come, Lord. Amen, I'm ready. Amen, I'm ready. And the Lord, then my dad said, you come into church and all that. And says, but we don't play football. Because I said, can I go and play football with the lads? Not on a Sunday. And I thought to myself, what's up with him? Why can't I play football on a Sunday? I said, it wouldn't interfere with me going to church. I still go to church and everything. I still love Jesus. I love the Lord with all my heart. But he says, no, please, sir. So I sneaked off. I used to sneak off. I was able to drive then. The recreation ground was about 3 miles up the road from where my house was. So I used to sneak off and play football on a Sunday afternoon. Still be in church at night, praising the Lord, amen. And you know, I didn't feel guilty. I didn't feel guilty about it at all. Never felt guilty. I felt my dad was wrong for chastising me and saying, you must be at church, you mustn't play football. But no, I went up. Don't feel guilty. Because God doesn't want you not to enjoy yourself. You know? That's what the Lord told me. He wants you to enjoy yourself. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to have the best happiness that anybody can have. And the best happiness that anybody can have, God taught me, was to have him. But I come through the era whereby you say you can be lost, saved, lost, saved, depending on how you are at the moment. If you see what I mean? You know, if you've been bad, if you've been talking about somebody, or you've been nasty to somebody, you needed to get right with the Lord. Of course, if the Lord come, you go that way. But you wouldn't go that way. And you know, it was a great breakthrough in my faith to realize that when I'm saved, I'm saved. It doesn't take anybody else. They can't take it away. The devil can't take it away from me because I'm covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ made all the difference. It's his blood that the devil fears more than anything. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us. That's what the devil hates. He cleanses us from all sin. Nothing to do with the priest, nothing to do with people. It's to do with Jesus and his blood on Calvary. And he cleansed me from all unrighteousness. And now I am, can rejoice in Jesus because he's done it. He's taken away that part of me, which, to be truthful, didn't feel that bad. Same as I said, I've been brought up to go to Sunday school. I didn't feel a bad person of myself. I didn't feel a bad person that, I know, if I died, I'd go to hell. But the Lord made it very clear to me that I needed to accept him as my Savior. He spoke to my heart. And that's why it's important. He speaks into your heart and into your life. And this is what's important. I met Eileen, my first wife. And the first thing she said to me... What I said to her, this is wrong as well. This is what it was wrong. I said to her, I love you, Eileen, but if you don't get saved, I can't marry you. Now, how wrong was that? Pressurizing somebody to be saved. No. But she says, I understand where you're coming from. Her mum was staunch Church of England. And in our village, Church of England have nothing to do with those Pentecostal people. Because they're funny. And she was torn tricks between as well. She says, but I understand what you're saying. And she did genuinely give her heart and life to Jesus. And she knew, same as Marcus was saying about Sunday school, went to Sunday school when we shouldn't have done, when we was older. And then we took over Sunday school and doing Sunday school. And then... As the Lord blessed me, we went into speaking a little bit. And but my wife said one thing. She said, one thing, Carl. I love you like mad. I will do anything you want to do to entertain me. I'll do entertain people. Say, but please don't ask me to stand at the front. She says, because I just refuse to do it. I don't want to do it. I have no desire to do it. And I say, praise the Lord that you can do it. And that's what she said. And she wouldn't. She would not stand at the front. But there was an incident in her life, and we as you know, we pray for people. The Holy Ghost comes upon them. They get blessed, and some people collapse on the floor. Phenomenon that I have never had experienced myself, but my wife was coming, and she says, look, Carl, no matter what, she said, I said, you need to be prayed for. And she says, yes, I realize that. And she went to the front to be prayed for. But she said, as she was going up, she says, there's no way that I am collapsing onto that floor for anything. I will resist. I will not collapse. I want prayer, but I will not collapse onto that floor. So she went up and had prayer. And then halfway through, I don't know who the preacher was praying then, she collapsed. Whoosh. And afterwards, I said, thought you weren't collapsing. She says, well, I was swaying backwards. And I thought, no, I'm not going. Swaying forwards, no. I was swaying left to right. No, I'm not going. I thought, I'm not collapsing. They said, then my legs give way. The Holy Spirit come upon her and her legs give way. She couldn't help herself because the Holy Spirit was that real and that wonderful. And I think the Holy Spirit wants to work more and more in that way. As we see the days closing in when Jesus is coming again, because Jesus is coming again, he's coming again real soon. And we all have, as the testimonies have testified tonight, we all got a kaleidoscope of experiences, and we all got different experiences. But the thing is that Jesus was there all the time. Jesus was there, and he loves us so much. But I think there is an avenue that we can go down now, that we need Jesus to open the doors for us, and that, but what God has shown me, he's already opened the doors. What he's waiting for is me to step through. He's opened the doors, he's opened the jail cells, and sometimes we're happy with where we are, But he's throwing open the challenge to me, in any case. I don't know about you. Throwing open the challenge. I'm opening the doors. I want you to step through. I want you to have faith to do what is before you. And that's what God's taking me down that avenue in my life right now. Some say I've been saved a long while. And I identified with the asthma. My little girl had asthma. She's 43, 44 now. And she was only little, she was only 18 months, and she had a very bad asthma. She couldn't even walk across the room without, she was out of breath, completely out of breath. And we had a visiting evangelist come to our church, and my dad used to know him very well because he used to accompany him in different places. And he prayed for her, and she had a right mighty touch from the Lord. And after he prayed for her, her lungs opened up, and it was wonderful to see her running about, other than just climbing, getting to you and just pulling on you because she couldn't breathe. She was running about again. The Lord touched her. The Lord is my healer. The Lord is healing today. I just thank God, personally, that I'm not a young person today. Because there's the temptations and the pressures multiplied upon multiplied upon multiplied upon young people today to what they were when I was young, many, many years ago. My first car was an old Ford Prefect. And then, I mean, an old Ford Prefect, one of the very first Ford Prefects that's ever come out. And it went real well. One, three gears, that's all. I bet you couldn't make that drift. But three gears and a reverse. Whoa, I was proud of it and all. But God, that's another thing altogether. Because I all through my life, God has, I felt the Lord blessing me and coming upon me. And I know God is doing something in these last days. And I know there's a purpose for me being here today. Because I don't think God does anything without a purpose or without a plan. He's got a plan for each of our lives. And that plan involves each other. Because we are, as very forcibly spoken, the family of God. The family of God. And it's a support I see in this church for one another that is fantastic. But God never lets us stand still. He never lets us stand still. He always wants us to go that little bit further. That little bit further. He always keeps opening the doors, and it's our responsibility to just to keep stepping through. The Word of God says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. So we know that we are in Christ Jesus. If anything comes our way that condemns us or challenges us to be condemned and makes you miserable, in other words, if anything comes your way that makes you miserable, you have to definitely, seriously consider that it's of the enemy. Because he is out to make your life a misery. Because he doesn't want you to be happy. He doesn't want you to have a life in Christ Jesus that's wonderful and fulfilling and wonderfully frees you up. It frees your mind up. It frees your spirit up. He wants you to be happy. See, the biggest pressure, same as it was in my day as well, but even more so, is peer pressure nowadays. People fear, especially young folk. What you're doing today? Are you coming down? Let me introduce you to this. Let me introduce you to that. And people saying this and people saying that. And then we have like, how shall I put it? There is a turmoil going on inside. What shall I do? 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 But it's turning to Jesus that makes the important bit. If we know that we can turn to Jesus, because he never leaves us. Someone said, his holy presence living in me. His holy presence living in me. I know as a young person, I struggle with that a lot, that the holy presence of Jesus was living in me. Living in me. But you could feel and know. Somebody said, he said it's better felt than telt, that the holy presence of Jesus. But I know that God wants something for you really special. You see, with God, age doesn't make any difference whatsoever. You can be 2, 42, 62, 92, 102. I know a brother, he passed away at 101 But Frank, yeah, he was absolutely full of the Lord. Full of the Lord. Because he was his strength. The Lord was his strength. And it doesn't matter what age you are, God is still going to lead you on and guide you on into what he wants you to do. We're never up a cul-de-sac with God. He's always a through road. Because he's leading us on and wants us to do what he wants us to do. He wants you to do something for him. He's chosen us to do something for him. No matter what your age are, I mean, you can't make an excuse that you're too old. Can't make an excuse you're too young. Those in between, well, you'll have to sort that out. You're not too old. You're not too young. God wants you to be available to him by his Holy Spirit. Wants you to be available. Wants you to be happy. Wants you to be full of joy. Wants you to have the answer to the world's problems. And you've got the answer to the world's problems, which is Jesus. One thing God has been showing me more and more, that I've got to be willing to change my attitude towards him inside of me. I've got to be willing to change my attitude, because you get set. You can get set in your ways. God works like this. And we have a blueprint of how God works. And if we aren't careful, we get stuck in that blueprint, in that rut. God only works like this. Anything outside of that, little flags start flying and things. And we get stuck in that way. But God has challenged me to forget that thing, all those things that are behind, and to look forward to the things that are before. Things that are behind are stopping me growing, stopping me going, stopping me being what God wants of me. Things behind. There is therefore now no condemnation. Forget those things that are behind. Look forward to what God wants you to do and be open-minded to what the Lord has got to say to you. Because I think, I feel the same as, I can feel it in this church. There's a bubbling. These are things happening. These things, something going to happen. Something wonderful is going to happen. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. And it excites me that I'm not too old, for one thing. It excites me that I'm not too old. And it excites me there's nobody too young. And that's another problem, see, the oldies have against with the youngies. Sometimes, as an oldie, we hear a youngie saying something, right? And we take it with a pinch of salt almost. We don't really take it in. But the word of God says a little child shall lead them. It's being open in our hearts and in our minds. There's a story, and you know it quite well, of the 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. A little lad took them to listen to Jesus. And you see, we perhaps think sometimes that the young ones, oh, it's all right. The disciples said it. Oh, keep them away, you know. And Jesus said, no, let them come. There's this young lad, he got 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. And he must not have been very big, because he's only a little child. And his mum, he wanted to go and listen to Jesus. So, and his mum said, well, you can't go just off like that. You've got to take something with you. You know how mothers are. You've got to take something with you. So I'll put you some lunch up, and then you can go and listen to Jesus. So off he goes, and he listens to Jesus, and Jesus was preaching away, talking to the people about him being the way, the truth, and the life. And then afterwards, like we had today, he said, let's have a feast. What have we got to feed everybody? And then there was 5,000 plus women and children, I'll get it right. There's 5,000 men plus women and children, the word of God says. And the disciple says, what have we got to give them to eat? You must be joking. We're in the middle of nowhere. It's a cost of fortune, actually, to try and feed. Well, what have we got, Jesus said. And there's a little boy who's listening. He says, listening to one, listening to the other. And he says, hey, mister, I've got a bit of something to eat you can have, if you can do anything with that. And the disciples says, well, Jesus, there's a little boy here. He's got 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. Think you can do anything with that? Probably just almost mockery. Can you do anything with that? Get everybody to sit down and just watch. We're going to have a feast. And the Lord blessed the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and it fed everybody. What a miracle that must have been for the disciples as they went round giving to people, and it just kept getting more and more and more and more and more and more. But the point is, there's that little boy. He was willing to give. He could have said, nobody else has got much. I'm keeping this to myself. I'm hungry. I aren't going to give it away. No way. But no, when he heard, his heart was touched. And he says, I'll give. So a little child led them in the way of giving. It could have been so different, but his heart was touched and he gave. And it doesn't matter, I suppose you know the moral of the story, it doesn't matter how little you've got. It doesn't matter how small it is. If you give it to God, he can do tremendous things with it. Tremendous things. It's just that willing to give, that willingness to give to God, that what you've got. You might think in your own heart, well, it's nothing. You've got a talent of talking to people. You've got a talent of singing. You've got a talent of helping people. You've got a talent of preaching. Whatever it is, and you think, oh, I can't. No, it's not me. Nobody wants me. But he said, if you're willing to give it to God and let him do it, God will really bless you, and the kingdom of God will be blessed as well, and people will be fed, spiritually fed, by your giving your talent to God. We've all got one. We've all got something we can give to Jesus. We've all got something we can give to Jesus. And God is looking for us. He's opening us the doors. They're standing open, and he just wants you to say, yes, here, Lord, this is what I'm giving you. I'm giving you me. And that's what all God wants. He wants you. He loves you. He died for you. And he wants to make you that happy as you can be. Make you have an understanding about who Jesus is. Because that's what Jesus wants us to do, as we know him, to understand who he is and what he's doing for you. Because he is doing it for you. You see, when we die, you think about these things a bit more when you're getting older, not when you're young so much. When you die, you stand before the God, you stand before the Lord on your own. On your own. There's nobody there. Your mum and dad can't be there. Your Uncle John can't be there. Bill can't be there. You're on your own. And when you die and you stand before the Lord and the Lord looks at you, God looks at you, and then all of a sudden, something happens. Jesus steps in between. He's mine. You don't have to answer a word because he's done it all for you and you've given it all for him. Hallelujah. You've done it all for you and you've given it all for him. So I want to leave you with, I'm going to carry on much longer because I know you've got all this fish in your belly and and you probably want to get home and see the football results. But God wants us. We are his people. We are his people. And I can thank you for the warmth and fellowship that you showed me this afternoon. It's been really wonderful. And I think God has got a sense of humor as well. You see, God has got a sense of humor. Sometimes you find yourself in situations and you just have to laugh and thank God. Thank God I'm a Christian. He's brought me through. I heard a little joke. What's one thing you can't say about me? I'm not a little joke. I'm quite a big joke, actually. No, don't mind about it. Don't worry. I couldn't sleep at all. Insomnia. I went to the doctors and I said, doctor, he says, what's up? He says, I can't sleep. He says, oh, don't worry about it. I've got the very cure for you. He says, when you go to bed at night, you get in bed and you sleep as close to the edge as you can. He says, you'll soon drop off. Yes, well, there's this American pastor. He thought he'd sneak off on Sunday morning to have a game of golf. He didn't really want to be part of the church that morning. He just felt, you know, it's been like that. But he didn't stay in his own town. He drove about 20 miles down the road to another place, to another golf course, so nobody'd see him. This was called God's sense of humor. He gets to the key, tee off point. I don't play golf myself, but my lads do, and they think it's wonderful. I can't see much point in it myself, but they think it's wonderful. He got to the first tee, and he was teeing off, and it was like a dog leg sort of thing, and it was about 400 yards. So he teed off. Wow. Around his end, just as it got so far down, a gust of wind come and took it. And he got it all in one. And the thing is, who's he going to tell? Who's he going to tell? So God has a sense of humor. And Jesus said, how can a camel go through an eye of a needle? We know it was just a thingy, but the moral of the story of the camel going through the eye of the needle was, you got to get everything off it, all these burdens that he got, and then the camel can just get through the eye of the needle on the wall of a Jerusalem. But he hasn't got that any baggage or anything else. It can just get through, and it's called the eye of the needle. And so to get into Jerusalem, to get into where God wants us to be, we have got to lose some baggage. But as I've been testified earlier, if we're willing, he's definitely willing. If we're willing to get rid of the baggage, he's definitely willing to let us do it. But we really have to be desperate for God. Desperate. That doesn't mean to say desperate in desperation, but desperate in eagerness to have what God wants. Because without him, we are lost. But with him, we have God. The best life possible. Now, if you haven't got the best life possible in Christ Jesus right now, let Jesus in and do what he wants to do with your life, because he will make all the difference in the world. Amen. Thank you.